Later in life, as a teenager, I was told another version of being brave, or another response to fear, and this is when I was in driver's ed class. There, the instructor told us, if you're feeling that little bit of fear, actually said the good Lord put it there for a good reason, and that reason is don't pull out into traffic. Wait until there's a fear. So we had these kind of two extremes. Sometimes there's something good that my mother wants me to do, and she asked me to be brave in order to do that. And then there are times where I had to listen to my fear. So like any kind of passion and virtue, at least according to St. Thomas Aquinas, the answer lay somewhere in the middle, in the mean. But it also raises the question of, okay, but what does this have to do with the Christian faith? What does bravery have to do with the Christian faith? And again, quite a lot. Because bravery has to do with the virtue of fortitude. This is the last virtue I'm going to discuss in this series. We've come to the end of this series of the season of Epiphany. And fortitude meaning internal strength. And it involves being brave, as well as some other qualities, like being steadfast and dependable, being generous, about doing a job well, especially when it's difficult. All these kind of strength of character. And in short, and like any virtue, fortitude is about pursuing what is good and what is best. What's particular about it is it's continuing to pursue things that are good and best, even when there are obstacles. Because even times there are, sometimes even within ourselves, that our own internal disposition wants to stop, wants to quit, wants to not pursue that good thing. And fortitude helps us to move forward. It's about being tough, but in a positive sense, because it's about being tough, pursuing something good. Sometimes I have to chuckle at my friend or my son's friends in the neighborhood, because they'll be around and they'll be doing something kind of silly, like one day they figured out they could open up a sewer grate. And then they wanted to look inside, and it smelled terrible, of course. And one of them stopped and just said, oh, I guess I'm just not brave enough to do that. Say, no, there's nothing good on the other side of that. Bravery has nothing to do with it. You might think that pursuing the good would be the most natural thing in the world, but we know that's not always the case. Sometimes pursuing the good is difficult, like getting an education, for example. We know that education is a good thing, but we also know that it takes some work to put into it. You have to continue to show up to class, and you have to do your work, you have to pass your exams. You have to put in the work in order to get there. But there can be other obstacles that might get in your way, not just with an education, but just pursuing goodness in general. Fear, discomfort can be some of them. And it's really a sense of this if you take a good close look at our scripture lessons for today. In the Old Testament, we have we're in the book of Exodus. And what we hear about in this lesson is Moses entering into a cloud and conversing with God. And in that cloud, he was told all sorts of wonderful things about ethical living for the people of Israel, about how the sanctuary was supposed to look on there to make a tent of meeting, the Ark of the Covenant, all this great stuff. But what we miss when we just read this small snippet is everything that led up to it. Moses was the only one entering into the cloud and speaking with God on these intimate terms because everybody else in Israel refused to. We were in Exodus 24 this morning, so if you were to take a Bible and you were to flip back to Exodus 20, that would have been the story of the Ten Commandments. And so in the Ten Commandments, what happened was all of Israel, so that was everybody who saw the parting of the Red Sea. This was everybody who were led out of Egypt with God's mighty hand. So it was the entire nation, they were there at the base of the mountain, and they started hearing God's voice, and it started off with the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. You shall have no when a child comes to you and, you know, they want something special and they promise to be real good after the fact. No, I'll do it. I promise. It doesn't always work out that way. And we certainly know that with Israel that things didn't work out yet. They became afraid and they let their fear get the better of them. They said to Moses, if we keep listening to the voice of God, we're going to die. So tell you what, you go. Now this in itself is kind of amusing because they're saying to themselves, this voice of God is so dangerous, it's going to kill us. Hey Moses, you. No, not us. I don't want to put myself in any danger. You. I don't want to make myself uncomfortable. Kind of reminds me of this commercial for a breakfast cereal when I was a kid. There was a cereal called Life Cereal. And the commercial was all these kids standing around this box of cereal and they're staring at it. And they weren't so sure they were going to like this cereal. Man, this doesn't look like it's going to taste too good. What was their idea? I know. Give it to Mikey. He'll eat everything. So they went to Mikey and said, you do this thing, you think it's going to be really unpleasant. In the scriptures, in the Bible, it was Israel saying, we're too afraid to do this. So Moses, you go. And one of the things that kind of happened because of that is where the people were supposed to have a direct relationship with God. And what they did is they put somebody in between them, a mediator, so to speak. But it wasn't necessary, but Moses was the one who had the fortitude, he had the strength and character to enter into the clouds, to do what was needed, what was right, what was good. Moses went into the cloud and communed with God and received all these instructions about ethical living, about how their worship was going to take place. Not many others did. And we all know what happened. While Moses was away, our story this morning says he was in the cloud for 40 days and 40 nights. So while he was away, people started saying, oh, this Moses, we don't know what happened to him. So he needs something else. I know, here's a great idea. We're going to make these golden calves, and we're going to worship them. They became patient. Lacking the fortitude to do what was right in the face of discomfort, they fell back onto what was easy and what was familiar. They made these golden calves and declared that they were the God that led them out of Egypt. So much so that even Moses' brother Aaron, who we read, he was left behind and he was supposed to kind of be their judge. So they had this dispute, they were supposed to come to Aaron. But he even got swept up in all of this. And he was the one who physically fashioned the calves out of wood and overlaid them with gold. So when Moses got back, he smashed the tablets of the Ten Commandments, and he pulled his brother aside and said, why have you done this? And what was his response? Well, they were really worked up about this, and I was afraid, so I did it. Actually, he didn't even own anything. He said, I just threw the gold into the fire and I was casting. In that Aaron too lacked the fortitude to do what was right in the face of these obstacles. Fortitude is a very important virtue when it comes to pursuing spiritual life, because there are so many things that can lead us astray, that can distract us from God. I may be tired on Sunday morning. Oh, prayer takes up time in my day. I have so many other commands. Well, God doesn't really care, does He? God still is going to love me. And one of the reasons we need fortitude is to continue to pursue God even when it's hard, or when there are distractions, or when you're momentarily bored. Fortitude is the thing that says, I believe this is what is best, and I'm going to do it no matter what. Fortitude is what helps us be more like Moses and less like everyone else. Somebody used the same reasoning for the other necessities of our life, people around us would rightly think that something was wrong. If I stopped bathing because I didn't get anything out of taking a shower, or if I thought being clean was irrelevant, or if I thought, okay, virtue tells me that this is something that I have to do every day, and I do it. If I stopped eating food because I thought it was boring or irrelevant, or because I thought the food industry was self-serving and hypocritical, I would definitely get sick. And people who love me would probably stage an intervention, take me aside and say, you have to eat. Spiritual life is just as important as food and hygiene. And it's a shame that somehow it's kind of gotten relegated in our culture to this thing that's a luxury or a quaint hobby or something else, something that's not as important as it actually is. It's a shame because spirituality is about being fully alive as a human being. We are most fully human when we are connected to that which is ultimately good, and that ultimate goodness is God Himself. But that doesn't mean that we are left on our own to pursue God completely on our own strength. There's always amazing grace, there's always help. God certainly wants us to choose Him, but when things become especially challenging, there is that grace to help and lift our fortitude and determination to new heights. In the Gospel, we hear another story about another cloud on another mountain, and like the first, the voice of God was heard very clearly. This time, Jesus went up to the mountain with three of His closest apostles, Peter, James, and John. And much like the Israelites of centuries past, they too became afraid when they heard this voice. Perhaps that's another challenge we face when we're developing the spiritual life, is that the experience of God can be very intense, and perhaps even frightening. So Peter, James, and John promptly faced it. They heard the voice of God and fell down. And Jesus reached down and touched them, and giving them that reassurance, said, get up, do not be afraid. I'd like to think that touch gave them a measure of fortitude that they hadn't before. But Jesus was there to help. Fortitude is the strength we need to pursue the good, to pursue God. That pursuit has both a natural component, and we all have a drive to do certain things, but also a supernatural component that lifts into new heights, pursue new levels of goodness that we become. It goes beyond what we can ask or imagine. Oftentimes, our spiritual journey takes some effort on our part. We need the discipline to do the things we need to do and to be where we need to be when we need to be there. But there's also the supernatural component, when Jesus touches you too and gives you the strength to continue. It's almost like what would happen if you took a cross-country bicycle trip. Now, just say if you started with the Virginia Beach Oceanfront and kept going every day, just headed west. Eventually, you would see a whole lot of this country. But if anybody has done any kind of endurance athletics, there's a point where you start getting tired. Maybe your body starts getting tired and wants to shut down, and then people discover this second wind. It's kind of sometimes called a runner's high. And they're feeling better, and they can keep going. Fear to stop before that time, you probably wouldn't make it out of Virginia, and you'd miss out on so much. Spiritual life is a journey where you see, grow, and experience so many things. And there are times when it's by our own efforts we keep moving forward, and there's times where it just gets difficult and we want to stop. But then there's also